So when was the last time someone encouraged you? When was the last time you had a piece of encouragement? And was it in church? We bring the first slide up, Johnny, that'd be great. There we are, encouraging one another. Now, I've told this particular story and joke before, but I'll tell it again. There was a minister in church, and he noticed a mum with a little boy sitting up the back of the congregation. The service ended. The minister went to shake hands with everyone on the door, and the little boy gives the minister 2p. The minister was touched by that. He said, "Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Why are you giving me money?" And the little boy said, "My mum says you're the poorest minister she's ever heard." Just a little bit of encouragement. Exactly. Who remembers Terry Waite? Terry Waite was released as a hostage in November 1991. Johnny, if you want to put the next slide up, there we are. There's Terry Waite. And that stained glass window behind is important. He was held hostage by Hezbollah in Lebanon, and he was released after nearly 5 years of captivity. During his time there, he was kept in a little cell. He hardly saw anybody, hardly had any conversations with anybody. But in that 5 years, a postcard managed to get all the way to Lebanon, to his cell, and given to Terry Waite. That postcard was sent by a lady called Joy Brodia, and the postcard was a picture of that stained glass window. That stained glass window is a picture of John Bunyan imprisoned, looking out at the light coming through his window. This is what Terry Waite said. A day after his release, Terry Waite recalled what it meant to receive Brodia's card that showed a painting of imprisoned 17th century author John Bunyan by a stained glass window. Terry Waite said, "I was kept in total and complete isolation for 4 years, said Waite, who was kept in chains for most of his captivity. I saw no one and spoke with no one, apart from cursory words with my guard when they brought me food." When he received the card, Waite said at first he thought how lucky Bunyan was to have a window, a pen, and a desk while he had none of these things. But when he turned it over and read the words of a stranger promising to remember and pray for him, he was encouraged. Terry Waite said, "Never despise the simple actions of someone." Encouragement, therefore, is life-changing, isn't it? And maybe in church we expect it. Maybe we come to church, church is such a positive experience and encouraging time. Maybe we can think of certain people who we find perhaps really encouraging within the church. If you have conversations with a tea and biscuit and you say, "Oh, that person, they're so encouraging. What they do is amazing." We're impressed, aren't we, when people encourage. But if we're all honest, we all could do with encouragement at times. And anyone that's been watching England on television certainly needs encouraging. Because we're all human beings, aren't we? And sometimes we feel like giving up. Anyone here ever felt like giving up? Okay, we all go through some tough situations. And we all need an inspiring word. If we're in a battle, which the Bible says we are, in a spiritual battle, we need to support one another. Like a shield wall. Anyone like history here? When there was battles, especially in the Saxons, they'd do a shield wall. And each shield would lock into place. And it was very difficult to get through to kill the soldiers because they all worked together. But to work together, they depended on the person next to them to support and encourage. So we're in a battle and we need encouraging. The devil, scripture says, is like a lion looking to destroy you. We need to pray for one another, don't we? We need to support and we need to encourage. The question then, the challenge for you and me, is when was the last time you encouraged somebody? When was the last time you encouraged somebody? When was the last time you wrote a kind message? Drop a card through the door or say something positive? One of the dangers of going through a hard time is that we can get caught up in our own problems to the point that we just feel that we can't encourage others because we ourselves are going through a tough time. And I believe that sometimes God uses those moments to encourage others, even though we may not have the answers to all our problems. But sometimes we have to break out of that cloud and say, look, okay, my life isn't great, but I'm still going to encourage somebody else. It's not easy, because I for one, I love feeling sorry for myself. And if I'm feeling sorry for myself, I'm not motivated to encourage other people. The Bible says we need to encourage one another. So I want to encourage you to encourage. So the story then, what is the background of the story that David read for us about these two wonderful leaders, Silas and Judas? They went up to the church of Antioch with this letter. Well, Paul and Barnabas, they finished their mission. Mission one over and done with. They got back to the church of Antioch. If you remember, the church of Antioch was a Gentile church. It was a church of people like you and me who were not Jewish. It was a Gentile church. And there was a massive issue in the church to begin with because obviously, Jesus was Jewish. The first Christians were Jewish. The church in Jerusalem were Christians who were Jews. And Jesus actually said, I want to reach everybody, the whole world, not just Jewish people. So we had Samaria, which were people that were kind of mixed, and they became Christians. And then the people up in Antioch in Syria, who were Gentiles, Greeks, they became Christians and were filled with the Spirit. Barnabas went up, didn't he? And he managed to find Paul. And Paul and Barnabas spent a whole year teaching the early church. And then they went off. They got sent off on mission. They come back to the church of Antioch. And then what happened was, and no one really knows how this happened, but a group of Jewish Christians from Jerusalem went up to Antioch and they started saying to the Gentiles, you are not genuine Christians. You are not saved unless you are circumcised. You are not saved unless you are circumcised. According to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So how important Luke is writing this in Acts, because this is a question of salvation. And even today, there are some churches, sadly, teaching a different gospel to the one that we have in the Bible, coming up with all different ideas of what salvation is. Well, there's lots of ways to God. All religions go to God. All kind of ideologies go to God. People are teaching a false gospel. And sadly, these groups of people who were not sent by the church started teaching that unless the Gentiles kept the Jewish law and were circumcised, they were not saved. Paul and Barnabas were fuming. You imagine they've just done this mission, they've seen lots of people come to faith, and there's a group of people saying, no, actually, there is the Jesus, what he did on the cross is not enough. You need to keep the law of Moses. They were fuming, and a battle that was once fought over Cornelius. Remember Cornelius, the centurion Gentile who became a Christian? And Peter had that vision, and Peter went and he baptized Cornelius and his family, and he went to the church and said, God accepts everybody because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are all one. And I remember when I preached that time, I said, this is going to come up again. Because this was a major issue for the Jewish Christians. And it did come up again. It's a big mountain for the Jewish believers to climb to accept this. And this issue crops up in Acts chapter 15. So Paul and Barnabas, they travelled down to see Peter and the church in Jerusalem. And they said to Peter what was going on. And Peter, if we read Galatians 2, Paul actually gets cross with Peter because Peter gets a bit scared of the Jewish people saying this. And he's saying, okay, I'm not going to spend so much time with the Gentiles because actually... And Paul says, Peter, why, you were once eating with the Gentiles and now you are turning your back. And I think Peter probably felt a little bit embarrassed with his behaviour. But Paul even says that even Barnabas was nearly changed. So they had this debate in the church. And Peter addressed the church and said, no, it is only by grace that we have been saved. That was the context of what we just read. So, to try and encourage the church of Antioch, Peter sends Judas and Silas, look boys, go up to Antioch and tell the church that it's only by grace you can be saved. And also take this letter. And we read the letter that was written by the Church Council of Jerusalem. It was therefore Judas and Silas's job to go and put things right, to read this letter, but to do it in person. Because, you know, has anyone ever read an email or had a letter and you don't know what tone it was written in? It looks a bit sarcastic, or it's like, I don't know what that really means. So to make sure that the people fully understood what the church was saying, they had two people who were leaders from the church explain it verbally as well. And off they went. So there's two things I just want to say about encouragement from this. If you put the next slide up, the other way, that's it. And that is two things about encouragement. We've got encouragement from the gospel, and we've got encouragement from one another. We read in verse 31 that the people of Antioch were glad for the encouraging message that they brought. And also in verse 32 of chapter 15, Judas and Silas said much to encourage. So we read the word encourage twice there, one from the letter and one about what Judas and Silas says. So Peter declared and the church declared and discerned that it's only by grace that we have been saved. Paul writes this in Ephesians in the church of Ephesus. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is doctrine. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. And sometimes we get in that trap as Christians that we think, okay, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for your grace. But because I haven't read my Bible, I'm condemned. How many of us feel condemned sometimes because we haven't done something? You are saved by grace. It is a gift. If I gave Elijah a lovely present, it's his. If Elijah says, oh, Dad, thank you so much for the new Liverpool shirt, but I can't accept it until I do the washing up. Or I can't accept it till I do my homework. Or I can't accept it until, you know, I clean my bedroom up. I would say, no, it's yours. It's a gift. You don't have to do anything else. It's my gift because I love my son. Here is your present. Reality is we all get, well, reality is many Christians get into that, I need to add something on to salvation. You don't. It's been given to you by Jesus Christ. We sing Amazing Grace, don't we? You know, that famous song. It's not just a song, though. It's a gift that's free. You no longer have to keep all the rules and condemn yourself for your failures. You can live in freedom because Christ died for you. We're going to sing after this message, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. How many of you feel the joy of being saved? How many? You know, we sing Amazing Grace. And sometimes in church, people sing it like this. Amazing Grace. Yeah, it looks really amazing, doesn't it? You all look like everybody. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is your strength, isn't it? The joy of the Lord. Where is the joy that you have been saved? Remember that song, Oh Happy Day? You know, people love it because everyone's joyful. And yet sometimes we forget about our salvation. Don't let the joy of salvation disappear. Let it radiate. People need to see that there's something different about you. If people don't see any difference in your life to theirs, they're not going to want to be a Christian, are they? One thing that stood the church out was there was something different about them. Let's not lose our joy. Let's take encouragement from the gospel. The second point then is to be an encouragement. Who was called the son of encouragement? Barnabas. Aka Joseph. That's his real name, isn't it? Joseph. They all had two or three names, didn't they? Joseph was Barnabas. Barsabbas was Judas. My uncle Jack was John. I don't know how that works out, but when you look at your ancestry, you'll find names that you don't recognise. And then someone says, who's Robert? Oh, yeah, that's Ken. What? He just liked being called Ken. I don't know. Anyway, they all had different names. Barnabas, he sold his field and he brought the money to the disciples' feet. He personally showed up. He personally turned up. He showed a commitment and an interest. Remember, it was Barnabas. He went off to find Saul to bring him to Antioch, didn't he? He didn't send a letter. Dear Saul, do you fancy coming to Antioch to preach? No, he went looking for him. Right, where's Saul? Saul, you've travelled all the way to find me. Yes, he did, because you are the answer to what God wants to do in other people's lives. You personally, and some of us, and I'm one, when I'm a bit lazy, I'll just send put money here, or I'll just write a card. I haven't got time. Make time. You, in your person, be personally committed and interested. Barnabas was. He travelled on mission with Saul. He invested in the life of Saul. We always think of, Paul and Peter, don't we? We never think of Barnabas. But if Barnabas weren't there, would Paul be the person that we know him to be? Barnabas was an encourager. You are all encouragers. You can all pray, can't you? There are groups that people belong to reach out to others. Let's encourage. Simon Peter, he personally went to Samaria, didn't he? He prayed and people were filled with the Spirit. He too invested his time personally. Sometimes we don't value ourselves, or we think that we can't add anything to the situation. But when we give of ourselves, we bless others, don't we? When we open up and allow God to work in our lives, people are encouraged. Have you noticed Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat? How many people know that passage? For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Notice it wasn't a letter, an email, someone on my behalf. It was you, the person, personally, invested their time to do those things, to visit, to look after, to feed, to give drink. We have to be a church membership, a church congregation that is involved, okay? We have to be involved. We have to be really caring and encouraging to those around us. There are people in this church that I know of, they serve quietly, unannounced, but it is seen, and it is a blessing and encouragement. Keep going, church. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing." Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As I finish now, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you know that your salvation is in Jesus Christ? Do not add anything to that. That is enough to be saved through his grace. How can you encourage? Who can you encourage? Let's get to work, church. Let's be committed to encouraging one another. Amen. Let me pray, and then we will close with blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Lord God, we thank you for your church, that we are part of your body. We are your hands, and we are your feet. And when we read about you on earth 2,000 years ago, it was your hands that healed. It was your feet that walked and took the message. We are your hands and feet now. And practically, Lord, we are here, and we want to encourage one another. Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you will show us in our hearts and minds the people that we need to go and visit, the people that we need to invest our time in to encourage. Lord, for anyone that's feeling discouraged about whatever, you know what they're going through at this moment of time. I pray, Lord, that you will encourage them in a profound new way. Amen.